Out of the Blue. Written by Josh Lanyon. Read by Alexander Masters. Chapter 1. France, November 1916.
Now don't be too hasty, Captain Brian. Not like I'm asking a king's ransom. Not like you can't find it ready, yeah? Ah, it's a couple of bob here and there. Could have gone to the Major, but I didn't, did I? Not one word to him about what you and poor Lieutenant Roberts used to.
Bat punched him. He was not as tall as the mechanic, but he was wiry and strong, and his fist connected to Orton's jaw with a satisfying crack. Orton's head snapped back. He staggered, tripped over something in the shadowy darkness of the stable, and went down slamming against the side of the stall. The elderly, dappled grey mare whickered softly. Leaning over the stall door, she lipped at Orton's fallen form. For a second, perhaps two, Bat stood shaking with rage and grief.
"Get up, you swine!" he bit out.
Orton's head lay out of reach of the uneven lamplight, but his limbs were still, and something in that broken stillness alerted Bat.
"Orton?"
He moved the lantern and the light illuminated Orton's face. The man's head was turned at an unnatural angle, watery eyes staring off into the loft above them. Bat smothered an exclamation, knelt beside Orton's body. The mare raised her head, nickering greeting. The lantern light flickered as though in a draught. He could see every detail in stark relief, the blue-black bristle on the older man's jaw, the flecks of grey in his moustache, oil and dirt beneath his fingernails. There was a little speck of blood at the corner of his mouth where Bat's ring had cut him, but he was not bleeding, was not breathing. Bat put fingers to Orton's flaccid throat and felt for a pulse. There was no pulse. Sid Orton was dead. Bat rose, gazed down at the body. Christ, it seemed unreal. He was used to thinking swiftly, making life and death decisions for the entire squadron with only seconds to spare. But he could think of nothing. He'd have to go to the CO. Chase would have to go to the Red Caps. Bat wiped his forehead with his sleeve. First, he'd need to come up with some story, some reason for what he'd done. And Jean mustn't be dragged into it. No one could know about Jean and him. It wasn't only Jean's name at stake. There was Bat's own family and name to think of. This murder was liable to finish the old man. He couldn't seem to think beyond it. Disgrace. Dishonor. He ought to feel something for Orton, surely. Pity. Remorse. He didn't. He hadn't meant to kill him, but Orton was no loss. Not even an awfully good mechanic. And Bat had killed better men than Orton. 10 at last count, for much worse reason. A miserable specimen, Orton. But you couldn't murder a chap for that. Gaze riveted on the ink stain on the frayed calf of Orton's disheveled uniform, Bat tried to force his sluggish brain to action. Yes, he needed a story before he went to the Major. More, he had to convince himself of it, get it straight in every detail, in case he was cross-examined. Mustn't get tripped up. If only he had ignored Orton's note. And why the devil hadn't he?
You waiting for him to tell you what to do?
A voice asked laconically from behind him. Bat jerked about. Cowboy leaned against the closed stable door. His eyes glinted in the queer light. Bright, almost feral as he watched from the half shadows.
Pardon?
Bat asked stupidly.
If you don't plan on getting jugged by the MPs, you better get a move on.
It was as though he was speaking to Bat in a foreign language. Granted, Cowboy was a Yank, a Texan at that, and did take a bit of translation even at the best of times. Bat said,
I don't... What do you mean? I shall have to report this.
Why is that?
Cowboy left his post at the door and came to join him. Oddly, it gave Bat comfort. Cowboy's broad shoulder brushing his own. Together, they stared down at Orton's body. Already he had changed. His face had a waxy, sunken look. The smell of death mingled with kerosene and horse and hay. Bat's stomach gave a sudden lurch and he moved away, leaning over a rusted harrow. But there was nothing to vomit. He hadn't eaten since yesterday. Hadn't eaten since Jean bought his packet and crashed in flames in the woods of the estate his family once owned near Hesden. Instead, he hung white-knuckled onto the rough metal frame, heaving dry, empty coughs and nothing coming out but a few exhausted tears. Not for Orton, for Jean.
"You better pull yourself together, boy," Cowboy told him when the worst of it was over.
Listening distantly to that terse voice, Bat knew he was right. He shuddered all over, forced himself upright, blinking at the American. Cowboy was a big man, several inches taller than Bat. Broad shoulders and narrow hips. Long legs. Must be the way they grew him in Texas. Cowboy certainly fit Bat's notion, based entirely on the works of Zane Grey and Max Brand, of a man of the West. He'd been attached to the RFC for about 2 months, which was a bloody long time in this war. Several lifetimes, really. The old mare stretched her long neck and nibbled at the collar of Cowboy's tunic. He patted her absently and drawled,
"Orton was a sidewinder. A low-down, miserable piece of shit pretending to be a man. Wasn't even a very good mechanic. Whatever else you might be, you're one hell of a pilot. And the RFC is running short on pilots these days, let alone aces."
Bat blinked at him, wiped his face again. He felt hot and cold, sick and sweaty. He felt as though he were coming down with something, something fatal. He was unable to think beyond the thing at their feet. "What are you saying?"
"I'm saying, what the hell's the point of you going to jail for killing that skunk? Anyway, I saw what happened. It was an accident. He slugged him and he fell and hit his head."
"It's still..." But he didn't finish it. He felt a flicker of hope. "You'll back me up then, when I go to Major Chase?"
"I don't think you want to do that."
Too right there. Bat didn't. But...
"How are you going to explain what he said that got you so mad you punched him? Or what the hell you were doing in the stables this time of night?"
Before Bat thought of an answer, assuming he'd have come up with one, Cowboy added,
"I guess Orton ain't the only one who ever noticed you and Lieutenant Roberts were kind of sweet on each other."
Bat lunged, and Cowboy sidestepped, grabbing him and twisting his arm behind his back in a wrestling move they never taught in any officer's training course Bat had received. It was fast and efficient. Pain shot through his shoulder and arm, and he stopped struggling, sagging against Cowboy. The American was so big, so powerfully built, it was easy to underestimate how fast he was when he needed to be, not least because he never seemed to be in a hurry. He spoke in a lazy drawl and moved with easy, loose-limbed grace. Even when he flew into battle, he picked off enemy planes as though he were potting birds off a branch with a rifle, as though he had all the time in the world. Listening to the calm, strong thud of Cowboy's heart, Bat thought dizzily that this was the closest he'd come to being in a man's arms ever again. Cowboy's voice vibrated in his chest as he intoned,
"Never realized you had such a temper, Captain Bryant. One of these days is gonna land you in a fix you can't get out of."
Bat yanked free and Cowboy let him go.
"Not tonight, though."
Bat rubbed his wrist where Cowboy's fingers had dug into the tendons. "What do you mean?"
"I mean, if you can simmer down long enough to listen, I'm gonna help you."
"Help me how?" Cowboy wasn't looking at Bat. He stared down at Orton's body. Thoughtfully, as though only making up his mind to it, he said,
"I'm gonna get rid of him once and for all."
"How?"
"Never mind how. It'll be better if you don't know. Go back to the mess and make sure everybody sees you. Close the place down. Then head up to your quarters. Understand?"
The flicker of hope flared. Bat knew a cowardly longing to do exactly as Cowboy instructed. leave it to him, go get blind drunk, then retire to bed and forget any of this happened. He forced himself to say, "Awfully good of you, old chap, but you must see I can't let you do this." Amused, Cowboy retorted, "You don't even know what I'm going to do, old chap, so why argue about it?" He was staring at Bat, smiling that funny, crooked grin of his. Bat had never noticed how blue Cowboy's eyes were. Blue as the sky, back when the sky was empty of anything worse than clouds. Light and bright in his deeply tanned face. His hair was soft gold, palomino gold. Helplessly, Bat said, "Why should you do this? Why should you help me? I haven't been... It's not as though..."
"Yeah, you acted like a stuck-up son of a bitch since the day I arrived. Is that what you're going to say?"
Cowboy asked easily.
"Not a member of your old boys' club, am I? Well, I guess it could be that I like you anyway. Or it could be that having you around makes my life easier. Except days like today when you seem bent on getting yourself blown out of the sky."
His gaze held Bat's, and there wasn't anything Bat could say. Today. Yes, what a long time ago it seemed. If Cowboy hadn't been there today, Sid Orton would still be alive.
"Oh, I get," Cowboy said softly. "I'll find you later."
And so, Bat got.